Moramai. Good morning. I'm Judith Lay and this is Praise, the programme that connects faith and daily life. Manx Radio.
Welcome to the first of two Praise programmes, specially for this last week of Advent, these final days of waiting to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the coming of the Son of God.
The best way to share an idea is to wrap it up in a human being.
That's Archdeacon Andy Brown, setting the theme that we'll be exploring over the next 2 weeks. A little later in the programme, the Archdeacon will explain what those words mean to him. A vicar in the north of the island tells us how buying some new Christmas carol booklets set him off on a voyage of discovery. And we reflect once again on the true meaning of this season through Bible readings and music recorded earlier this week at the Tynwald Carol Service and at the Doon School. A few days ago, St George's Church here in Douglas hosted the Tynwald Carol Service. As the name suggests, the service is actually led by members of government and it includes two fine choirs, the Tynwald Choir and the Government Staff Choir. Let's hear first from the Tynwald Choir with the Austrian carol Still, Still, Still. The organist is Jonathan King from the Clerk of Tynwald's office. And that'll be followed by a Bible reading by Mr. Bill Henderson, MLC. And then the choir from the Doon School will sing one of our best-loved carols.
St. Luke tells of the birth of Jesus. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Instrumentalists from the Doon School singing Away in a Manger, and there'll be more from them later in the programme. But let's return now to the Tynwald Carol Service. The Government Staff Choir is a true community choir, open to all Isle of Man Government employees, regardless of previous singing experience, with rehearsals every Wednesday lunchtime in St George's Church. In a few moments, they'll sing the Carol of the Bells. But before that, let's listen to the Archdeacon, the Venerable Andy Brown, who is also Chaplain of the House of Keys.
A few years ago, at a Senate hearing in Washington, a politician was grilling a scientist as to why it was necessary in this day of advanced electronic communication that he and his team spend a fortune of public money travelling to Tokyo to share their ideas. Couldn't they email or Skype? The scientist replied, "The best way to share an idea is to wrap it up in a human being. The best way to share an idea is to wrap it up in a human being." The Bible says, "God became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth." God wrapped up his great idea in a human being. And that human being was a Jew, one of the most persecuted of peoples ever to walk this planet, born in a backwater of the Roman Empire. God wrapped his great idea in the frailest of human flesh, not in imperial majesty or a grand philosophy. And he did so to make his great idea transparent. It is good simply to be human, and humanity is of vital significance to God. This means that God desires that all humanity be treated with dignity, that no part of humanity be constrained by culture or economy to limited choices and limited lives. I'd suggest, friends, that we should be offended that poverty and homelessness stalk even this island. It must shock us that brutal dictators and brutal ideologies still use violence to impose their will and stunt our humanity. That refugees are homeless and stateless, that climate change threatens the lives of millions, that patriarchy restricts and limits women and girls in the 21st century, and that sexual identity or orientation can still limit human lives. Just a few of the demons which limit our humanity against God's expressed will. Demons, I believe, Christ longs to cast out today as he did of old. So God became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, that we might live our humanity in all its fullness and God-given abundance. My friends, God bless you and inspire you this coming Christmas time.
The Isle of Man Government Staff Choir. Now let's meet someone else who, like the Archdeacon, believes that the best way to share an idea is to wrap it up in a human being. Reverend Ian Skidmore is vicar of the parish of the Northern Plain. Based in Lizaire, he has the care of 5 Anglican churches in the north of the island. And a few days ago, getting out the booklets ready for the carol services in his churches set him off on a voyage of discovery.
Ian, good morning and welcome.
Hi, good morning, Judith. Every year we get these carol sheets out and they have pictures in them, you know, of kids and all sorts of things. And I thought, what's this organisation really all about? And how do we end up with these carol sheets in our churches?
And what did you discover?
Well, I discovered it started off as the Bible Lands, and in 2012 it changed the name to Embrace the Middle East. I was speaking to a man from Embrace, and he goes around the UK and does talks on them. He was talking about the carol sheets, and he said, you know, sometimes he goes to a church and people will proudly bring out their Bible Lands carol sheets, and they've had them for donkey's years. They've been looking after them, and there they are, exactly the same. So it's been something that people really have embraced, actually, over the years.
So the Bible Lands is now Embrace the Middle East.
Yes.
So what does this charity do, Ian?
It calls itself Faith in Action, partnering with Middle East Christians. So it is a Christian organisation that brands itself not really as evangelistic. So the help that Christians in the Middle East give people, there's no strings attached to it. So they help everyone and anyone who's in need, from whatever faith and whatever background. So they've really got their work cut out nowadays. These Christians in the Middle East have been around for hundreds of years, and they don't see themselves as marginalised. They see themselves as part of the solution. And through the charity Embrace the Middle East, they're able to help their communities. I don't think it's just about throwing money at something. It's enabling communities to help one another. especially with education, or the education of young girls as well, you know, so important, because we know and we see time and time again that an education helps get people out of poverty. Now, they're focusing a lot on Lebanon at the moment because there's about 1.5 million refugees in Lebanon. And the Lebanon, you know, it's just a tiny country, the size of Devon and Cornwall combined, actually. So if you have Syrian refugees going into the Lebanon, the Syrian children will have been brought up speaking Arabic. But when they get to the Lebanon, they speak French or English. So not only are they so displaced and, you know, I guess damaged in many ways, but the whole experience. So you can see where education is a way out and how important it is for organisations to do that, to provide the education as well as, you know, the sanitation and healthcare, you know, and all that. And especially nowadays for disabled people as well. So it's a big ask, really. And I think from experience, it's not throwing money at a problem. It's empowering local people. And that's fine if people are in their own locale. But when you have this massive displacement of people, it's a different slant on it. So I guess you have to try and break that down into bite-sized bits. And it's very difficult to get access to the south. Permits are needed to travel. So South Lebanon is effectively cut off from the rest of Lebanon. Villages there are particularly poor and isolated, and some have dismal women's rights records. This is a story from a 24-year-old called Zahara, who's determined to change things in the Lebanon. There are no businesses in the village where she lives, not even a grocery store, and few children get an education as there's no secondary school. "My village is very poor," Zahara said, "and the people are very conservative. Many don't allow girls out for work or school. This is what I want to change. Security concerns and the need to obtain travel permits make it difficult for aid agencies to operate in the region. But one of our Christian partners, using their local knowledge and contacts, has set up a self-reliance project for women." Zahara has big plans for the future. She's studying early childhood studies and wants to set up a kindergarten. Lack of childcare is one of the obstacles preventing women from working. So really, Zahara is the perfect example of how Christians in the Middle East support young women like her to fulfil her dreams, but also help create opportunities for countless more people. Having gone out to do humanitarian work, it is such a difficult thing to do. And when you actually meet people who are starving and who have absolutely nothing, it sort of alters your perception a wee bit on what charities can do. You know, when folks say, "Oh, the money never gets to the people." Well, you know, I think for an organisation that's been around for over 100 years, I think it probably is getting to the people and doing the work that people are paying for.
But also, with any kind of practical giving comes the need to pray. And we can all do that, can't we? To pray that the money will get through, to pray that the people will be protected and strengthened as they assist others. Two things are inseparable, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Prayer is the work. You know, everything hangs off of that. And if we're praying for peace, and especially at this time of the year, you know, when we've got these carol sheets out, we're looking towards the Prince of Peace. We're celebrating that coming into the world. And if it means so much for us, why don't we pray for peace for people in the Middle East, people in Syria, people in Iraq, Lebanon? Pick a place and pray for it, and trust that the Prince of Peace himself will hear our prayers. And indeed, through organisations like Embrace, they are making a difference. So you could say your prayers are being answered.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onwards and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Thanks be to God.
School choir and The Night Slept Quietly, and the choir and instrumentalists will be taking part in a service of candlelight carols and readings this evening at 6:30 in the Doune Church on the main road at Glenmona. And before that, Mrs. Jane Poole Wilson, MLC, read the words of the prophet Isaiah as he foretold the birth of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And if you'd like to know more about Embrace the Middle East, the charity that Reverend Ian Skidmore was talking about, then take a look at their website, embraceme.org. And there you'll find the online shop full of gift ideas and free resources, as well as details of the work they do, transforming lives through the partnerships they've formed in the Middle East over the last 160-odd years.
Oh.
the Isle of Man Government Choirs, Congregation and Organist Jonathan King, and In the Bleak Midwinter. And that's all that we have time for on Praise today. Don't forget, the new place for our notice board is during sundown, every Sunday night between 10 and 10:30. But if you'd like to read the notice board, then you'll find it all in the Praise blog on the Manx Radio website. Just go to manxradio.com. On the homepage, click On Air, and on the drop-down menu, you'll find Blogs. Click, and Praise will be one of the first to display. And I've just added a new blog, adding lots of new information for today and the week ahead. Well worth taking a look. Thank you for listening to today's Praise podcast. There's a new Praise podcast available every Sunday. You can subscribe for free on iTunes, Google Podcasts and Spotify, or on the Manx Radio smartphone app or at manxradio.com. All editions of Praise will remain as podcasts indefinitely. This is Judith saying thank you for your company, and I wish you and those you love all the real joys of this Advent season, and a very good morning.